If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trick. I am your host, Matt, also known on the internet as Super Gains Bros, joined today by Stray House Pet, who I'm considering, like, I mean, I view you as like the resident TikTok, the Street Fighter expert, the resident Street Fighter expert on TikTok.
That's a high compliment. I make videos. I wouldn't call myself an expert, but like I do love Street Fighter, especially like older Street Fighter games like Third Strike and Super Turbo. So I'm honored to have that title.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, hey, you own a CPS2 machine, okay? I mean, that's legit. That's pretty diehard.
That was an exciting project. I was real excited to get that rolling this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cool. Yeah. So like I said, before you record here. Yeah. I came across your channel. I don't remember when, but certainly been following you for at least a year. I think we're right about the same, like around 30, you have around 37,000, followers on TikTok. TikTok is a wild ride.
TikTok is a lot of fun. You know, it's something that you kind of, you can stumble into success on TikTok, you know. Starts off as a fun thing, and then all of a sudden you hit 10k followers, and then you're just like, oh well, okay, well, what else can I do? And then the TikTok, the app itself, just starts saying, it's like, hey, you bet you can start monetizing this. I'm like, oh okay, well, making videos is kind of fun, let's see where I can go from there. And it's kind of an organic, TikTok's real organic how it goes like that.
Yeah, it sends me messages every day being like, hey, do you want to spend your own money to promote a video? Like, I thought the point was I was on here to make money, you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, we had the TikTok ban for like an hour. And I guess actually they keep just kicking it down the road. I totally forgot that it was supposed to be like banned last week again.
Yeah, no, that happened something like last week and it was kicked down the road again. And I'm just like,
I think.
What is.
I think that's where we're at. It's just gonna keep getting kicked down.
It's so funny because TikTok's technically illegal still, right?
Yeah,
but here it is.
Yeah,
here
who we knows? All are. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. Yeah, and then also, man, all your Switch 2 content you've been talking recently. I'm like 100% agree with you. I don't get the negativity towards it. I don't understand why people are like so obsessed with, you know, arguing with people about like how they spend their money or whatever. I mean, it's just wild.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And for someone who didn't buy a Switch 2 yet, I spent a lot of time defending it.
Yeah.
I had other financial things that I was gunning for.
Sure.
Around the time the Switch 2 came out. Right. Like I bought the CPS2 cabinet like around the same time the Switch 2 was announced.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, well, that's out of my game. But yeah. Like the fascinating thing about Switch 2 discourse, as I'll call it, is that it's a bunch of things that people complained about that were standard 10 years ago. Like people were talking about not owning games on Steam like over a decade ago. Like, but Steam and Valve, they're considered one of the greatest, one of the most highly regarded like companies in the gaming sphere, right? Because you have a lot of deals on it and stuff like that. But like, you don't own your Steam library technically, in a technical sense that people are talking about today. It's just like, if Steam goes down, all your games are gone, right? And so like, so they bring, Nintendo comes along and they're like, we have Game Key cards, which are on the Switch 2, one, as well, but somehow something got viral to the wrong crowd of people, and everybody's like, oh, so you don't own anything anymore. I'm like, well, it's kind of, but also not.
Yeah. Well, I made the argument, and I made a video talking about how I was like, to me, it's no different than you put a game in and you install it. I mean, once we hit the point mm-hmm. where games like 100 gigs and stuff like that, sure, you may own the 50 gigs and you may own the mm-hmm. license to it on PS4. Like, at least on the PS4 generation, there was a lot of games where it's like, hey, you at least you bought the disc and the full game before updates was on the disc. But now, I mean, any PS5 game is well over 50 gigs. So it's mm-hmm. not like it's all entirely on there. And PC back in the day, like, I mean, you'd still, if you bought the disc, my Diablo disc, like, you'd have to go, you find like an illegal patch to play Diablo 2 if you lost your disc.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of PC games, you know, just age out. You just age out of them. Like, I somewhere in my storage, I still have discs for Morrowind. My computer doesn't even have a disc drive anymore.
Right.
Right. Like, those things are just kind of gone. And like, the thing about Nintendo that's always real interesting is they always seem a generation behind on a trend. And it's very fascinating that they've caught up to a trend that's been around in gaming for a long time. And now everybody notices and now everybody cares. And, you know, in a way, I think it's fair to care about those things. It's fair to care about ownership or accessibility through your physical media. But also, where were you?
Oh, right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And it's like the game keycard thing, like it still attaches it to something physically. So if you can, it keeps retro game stores alive because mm-hmm. now I can go and I can buy a copy of,
That's a transferable copy still.
Yeah, it totally is. Like the Bravely Default, Street Fighter 6.
Yeah.
Is a game keycard. I have Cyberpunk and,
speaking of, if I may derail this on Street Fighter, like people are talking about Mario Kart 8, like the big myth about Mario Kart, not 8, World, was that it was going to be $90, right? You know how much I spent for Street Fighter 6 on launch day in June 2nd in 20... So,
I was there too, man.
I spent $90 on Street Fighter 6 for the year one game pass.
Yeah.
Right? Well, like, that's so standard.
And not only that, so I was like, and we'll get into Street Fighter here in a bit. But so Street Fighter 6 was the first one where it's like, all right, it's time for me to finally learn how to use like this type of a controller, leverless. So not only did I buy the game, not only did I buy, you know, the thing, then I spent like $150 from some dude on Etsy to make me like a custom thing. Uh-huh. Like, I was like $300 in, you know, uh-huh, I mean, by the time you're done with it.
Greedy Capcom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Capcom forced me to go buy. Capcom to me. I mean, full disclosure, I am a Capcom shareholder as well as a Nintendo shareholder. I always make that disclaimer because people are always like, "Oh, you're just like a shill." It's like,
I mean, there's things to criticize about Nintendo and Capcom. Like,
I think as far as it goes,
$15 for a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle skin is kind of crazy.
Right. Oh, right? it's ridiculous.
At the same time, like that stuff funds the game that we have. I mean, like Fortnite is brilliant because of that, right?
Right.
Fortnite is free to play game, makes all of its money on skins and makes a ton of money on skins. And like, that's just, and at least it's optional.
Yeah. Yeah. You could play the game. Yeah. I mean, that's another thing too. People will spend well over $60 on a free to play game. I played, it's shut down now, but Gundam Evolution, that was like, I was like, oh man, I loved it. It was like Overwatch mm-hmm. and they finally released the one character I wanted, which was, you know, Gundam Heavy Arms. And I was like, mm-hmm. $10. Right. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I'll drop that right now. Cause that's the one character I want to play as to play this game. So mm-hmm. yeah, the pricing is all, I don't get it. I don't get why people, it's all the same. I think it's just how people view it. I am also just finding, I think people just love to hate on Nintendo for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's because this
it's fun to fight hate on the popular thing, you know.
Yeah, and I'll say this because I think this is the first time to me since the GameCube. I think now that I own the Switch 2, power wise and at least like efficiency and optimization, I think this is like the probably closest to current, especially if you have like the S and like the Steam Deck certainly. I mean, but like, because I have a ROG Ally, you know, which is like the Steam Deck. And I mean, Cyberpunk on my Switch compared to Cyberpunk on that. Well, I also have the 4090 external graphics card, so you can't compare that, obviously. But just based on the chip, it's, I mean, they're same. I mean, that's right there with it.
Everything I've seen about it indicates that it's a real powerful device. Like, really, like, I mean, people say derogatorily that it's as strong as a PS4 Pro. That's pretty powerful. The you get really diminishing returns when you go from PS4 to PS5. Like, I'd never had a desire to buy a PS5 until Astrobot came out, and I still didn't buy it because I was just not interested in the jump from hardware from the PS5 to the PS4. There wasn't anything that really grabbed me versus and there weren't like games for that either that really pushed me that. And they're still releasing games for the PS4.
Oh yeah.
Like still to this day, like the Marvel vs. Capcom collection came out like last year, PS4. The Dragon Quest HD remakes are coming out on PS4 as well as everything, because everything can be just released on the PS4 and be compatible with PS5. It's like, I almost have no reason to upgrade to a PS5.
I wish I hadn't. There's, yeah. I mean, literally it collects dust. It's sitting right there, and you can't see it, but literally the only game I have played on PS5 that is a next gen exclusive is college football. Cause that's it. It's like, literally I feel
college football is real good.
It is good. I mean, it's certainly as far as like Madden and stuff goes. And it's the best EA football game in a very long time. I can say, which is, I guess, saying something, but yeah, I mean, that's literally like, oh, I spent that. And then I played Legend of Dragoon, actually, was because I was like, oh, I got the platinum trophy. And then I played Shenmue and got the platinum trophy, and I was like, all right, it's like I could have done that on PS4, you know. Okay, well, let's talk some Street Fighter, because
all right, yeah,
that's what I really want to talk about. So what got you into it? Which game did you play first? Which version, I'm assuming, of Street Fighter 2 was like the first one?
So I actually came to Street Fighter through Third Strike.
Oh, okay.
When COVID started, I was a big Melee, Super Smash Bros. Melee. I played Super Smash Bros. Melee a long time, still play it, still go to tournaments to this day for that game. And when COVID started, me and friends that were playing Melee started playing Third Strike. And I was like, oh, tight. Let's do it. I mean, I had played Street Fighter before, right? Right. I bought Street Fighter V when it first came out. I played Street Fighter IV a little bit. But I never like played, you know, really into it. But like, they were playing Third Strike on Fightcade. I was like, okay, cool. So I picked up and learned a little bit of Third Strike, because I knew about the Daigo parry and stuff like that. And I started playing as like, I think I was playing Elena a little bit at first. So I was like, this is really cool, because it like hits it's Third Strike is a really elegant game where you can accidentally do really cool things with the parry system and stuff like that. So you feel like a god when you accidentally do a parry and convert off of it and stuff like that. So Third Strike was probably my first real Street Fighter game that I really, really played. And I played that like on and off a little bit on Fightcade for a few years. So that's like my first one. And then from there, you know, I expand past that too. To other games.
Oh, really? Okay. I just assumed you'd like been a lifelong.
I'm not like an old head. I'm a pretty new person to
the Street Fighter franchise.
I mean, like, I like the Street Fighter lore and the games like for a long time, but never like played one. And I liked watching it for a long time. But like, I'm relatively like playing it pretty new, I would say, like 5 years.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah.
I'm an expert, right?
That's what I said. Hey, that's cool. That's even more interesting. So, where did you go after Third Strike? What did you like once you kind of got really into? Because I think most people who are really hardcore in the community would consider Third Strike to be. I think that's what like the people who like not the casual crowd, but I think like the hardcore people still probably consider Third Strike.
Yeah. I mean, like I was a Melee player, right? So we thought of ourselves as hardcore, right? So it's like, oh, I'm playing Third Strike. I'm playing the most hardcore one. But so I didn't branch out much after that until I started making TikTok content. And when I was making TikTok content, I met other people playing fighting games, and they all started playing. They all hosted like a BlazBlue tournament.
Oh, that's totally different direction.
Totally yeah. different direction, right? And so they flopped around for a little bit, and then they were running tournaments for like different games. And it was like the BlazBlue one was fun, the Skullgirls one was fun, but the one that like really hooked me was Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Yeah.
I was like, that game I really started sinking my teeth into. That was the like every other tournament, I was like, I'm doing this kind of for fun. You know, like I know how to do a fireball, I know how to do a dragon punch, stuff like that. But Marvel vs. Capcom 2 really, really captured me in a real, in a really, really special way.
Yeah, it's different than Street Fighter. It really is. Like they play like even the X-Men versus Street Fighter games, because they're so much lighter. The jumping is way higher. Mm-hmm. It's more arcadey. I am actually on the side where. And this is, and I think really just comes down to what you like versus what you don't. I personally, I prefer one-on-one fighters. Way
no, that's
more
totally, than, that's totally valid.
Yeah. Then I prefer, like even Dragon Ball Fighters and like Tatsunoko versus Capcom or any of the stuff, then the swapping games. It's like too much. It's too crazy.
I like them both. That's the thing. Right. So like, I like them both. So I probably equally play Street Fighter, and I equally play like a Marvel vs. Capcom game. I go back and forth between them a lot. Actually, they're just, I just like both those types of games. The joke, I tell my friends this joke, there's only three real fighting games. And I say it's Super Smash Bros. Melee, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Like those are your branches.
So you played some BlazBlue. Are you Mortal Kombat at all or no?
Not really into Mortal Kombat. That is a mostly I get squeamish around violence. That's my thing. That's just a very personal thing for me. Yeah. So like
I'm in the same camp. I don't like it at all. And every time I go to play it, like I played Injustice a little bit because I was like, it's the same engine, but it's you know, DC. characters, but it's just so foreign to me because it's so different, right?
Like, yeah, block buttons are weird.
Yeah, it's such, it's just so different. It's like, that's the thing I love about Capcom fighters. Whether I'm playing, like today I was actually recording some footage, and I was like, oh, you know, okay, now I'm going to play Capcom versus SNK, and now I'll go over to X-Men versus Street Fighter, and now I'll go to, then I popped in, I have the Street Fighter Anniversary Collection on Switch, and I'm like, okay, well, now I'm going to go get some Third Strike and some Street Fighter 2, and it's all the same. Like, I'm at home, right?
It's all six buttons.
It's, yeah.
Every single one is six buttons. Capcom mastered the six-button formula.
Yeah. I mean, I've never played Darkstalkers, but I know that I could jump into it and probably be okay. You know,
I've done some of that on Fightcade, not as much as the other games, but Darkstalkers is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. And the thing I like about these games is that you learn a couple rules and you can go basically do whatever you want afterwards. Darkstalkers is one of those games because it has a similar magic series. You go from lights to heavies to punches to kicks, and then like, you know, everything you need to know to like make a combo yourself in those games.
Yeah. Okay. So what all Street Fighter games have you played then?
I played a little bit of them all before leading up to Street Fighter 6. I was playing, I did a bunch of 5.
Okay.
And
so it's interesting. So you weren't playing these games at launch.
No, not really.
Okay. Okay.
I played a little bit of 5 at launch. Cause I like bought it. I was actually like defending the launch for 5, which was a little bit, because I was like, it's a fighting game. You just do the 1v1 thing and then you get more characters down the line.
Right.
But I didn't do a lot of 5 until Street Fighter 6 came. I played a lot of Street Fighter 6 at launch. I'm not playing a lot now, but occasionally I'll still jump in because Ryu is busted right now.
Right.
Ryu is so fun in that game. But yeah, so probably after Third Strike is probably 6 and Super Turbo are the ones I've played the most.
Have you played Alpha?
No, none of the Alpha series.
Oh man. Oh, see, that's quite a debate. Is a lot of people are like, no, Alpha is the best. Because they came out in similar times, and they're very, very interesting. Yeah. So I
could dig my heels in and say like the mainline series is better, but that'd only be because I haven't really played Alpha 2 or 3.
I don't really consider Alpha as like not part of the main series. I think it should be treated just as, I mean, it right there with it. Alpha, they're all different, and there's a ton of different versions of it. what's the most impressive one is actually, I think it's Alpha 2 that's on the Super Nintendo. It is like a
I've heard about that's like a miracle of engineering.
It's it's insane that that game exists. It's like The Witcher on Switch, where it's like how did the what sorcery were these guys over there?
The Super Nintendo had a lot of things like that. Like Doom was on the Super Nintendo also, and Doom could play online.
Yeah.
You could connect that one online somehow through some type of wizardry. And like Super Nintendo is a surprisingly powerful console, mostly because they could add physical chips to the cartridges.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Star Fox and Stunt Racer FX. And
but that's getting off topic. But,
So my Street Fighter journey, I started all the way back as a kid, Sega Genesis Champions Edition, and just like playing it at my cousin's house. And I was like, man, this is pretty cool. Didn't really know anything about it. And then I remember actually watching, there were a couple of them, but there was a Street Fighter cartoon. There was a Street Fighter cartoon that had a very short run on the USA Network.
Oh, the Saturday morning one?
Yeah, yeah. So that one was like, Guile's in charge and he was the main character. And so then I caught a couple of that. I was like, what is this? Like, this is pretty cool. It wasn't as cool as like Power Rangers or SWAT Cats or any of the other stuff that was going on in the 90s to keep my attention. But so then I got Super Street Fighter 2 New Challengers for Super Nintendo, and that was like, all right, I'm hooked hardcore. I like my brother and I played religiously, like daily, every day.
It was called Turbo on the Super Nintendo, right?
No, there's like three or four different ports. So there is on the Super Nintendo, there is Street Fighter 2 with the eight characters.
It's World Warriors, right? Yeah,
World Warriors. Then there is Super Street Fighter 2 the New Challengers, which added in like Cammy and T-Hawk and Fei Long. Then there is there's Street Fighter 2 Turbo, which doesn't have the New Challengers, and that's the one most people kind of consider to be the best because it plays the best on the. So there is kind of like a small debate, but there's like a code you can enter to get Turbo. It's ridiculous. So played that pretty religiously, and then like in high school, I bought the PlayStation 2 anthologies of the Street Fighter 2, and I had it for Xbox, and it had like the movie, the Street Fighter 2 animated movie on it. And that one is really cool because that one also has the 3DO music, which I consider to be like the pinnacle soundtrack to Street Fighter. So much so that I went and bought the 3DO version, and I don't even own a 3DO.
Nice.
Just because I was like, this is the version. And then at that point, I just got hooked, and I bought everything, about all the collector's editions when they come out, everything. And I am just like diehard. Am I really good at Street Fighter? No. Could I like
me neither?
I can get to like silver, okay, but I'm fine with that, you know, because then it's like I have to master this thing if I want to move, if I want to move up, and that's just probably not going to happen. But so for me, Third Strike was the one I missed out on, just because it came out on like Dreamcast. I didn't get it, so I then kind of moved over to like Capcom versus SNK and the PS2, and then Street Fighter 4, and then I was like hardcore hooked.
Yeah.
And so
Strike was like a financial failure.
Yeah.
Like Street Fighter 3, just that whole line of the CPS3 cabinets, Street Fighter 3, all that was just like complete and total like commercial failure. Like did not work out. It's like the Fight Club of the FGC, right?
Yeah.
Total flop on release, but like such a cult following, strong following, that like it's probably more popular now than ever was when it actually came out.
Oh, for sure. Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but Third Strike to me is so special just because, one, I found it like later, and so I knew like I found it like right before like Street Fighter 4 is when I kind of got into it, and so like nobody was playing it. I was just playing, you know, arcade against and then like my brother, we'd play it. And man, all the characters are different, you know. There's like just Ryu, Ken, Akuma, and Chun-Li, and none of the other people, and a lot of those characters haven't really made it outside of, I mean, I guess they have now, but they're still like Remy is a character who has not appeared in anything else. It's such a shame.
Remy's really cool. He's like, I mean, like he's more than the Guile function. I played a lot of Remy in Third Strike.
Yeah.
Remy was like my first main in Third Strike, and like he's more than he's way more than the guile function that people say he is. He's got some similar moves, but like he's a super unique and interesting character, because like the high low fireballs kind of makes him like Sagat, but then like he's like a really interesting counterpoke character. I really like him.
Yeah,
play wise.
Yeah, he's so, and I feel like, you know, we're always going to get Charlie instead. It's like, okay, we're get Guile and Charlie. It's like, man, why can't I don't get it. I don't know why they don't want to do it. I guess in Street Fighter VI, whether it's in like the open world area or something.
There's a lot of cameos in Street Fighter VI in like artwork and whatnot, right?
Like, yeah, I think he has artwork cameo. I think it's like in the city. I just looked it up. Yeah, you can see like his club or something. It's in the Paris stage. You can see like Club Metro, and it's like where he's at, but he's not in the game or, you know, anything like that. So but I think he should be. He's totally a character.
Yeah, I mean, Necro is another really cool character in Third Strike.
Yeah,
he's kind of got like a type of Wolverine Weapon X story almost, where like he's tested on in a lab and he's running away. He's got a cool story, he's got a cool aesthetic, and he plays completely differently than like any other character that has been around in Street Fighter. Yeah. There's a lot of cool Third Strike things that just haven't really been moved on. There's some, but like, I mean, we got Elena.
Yeah. Well, Alex is coming. I mean, he's come back before. And Gil showed up in Street Fighter V. That was the total big shocker.
Yeah. That was wild.
That was
Gil in Street Fighter V is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big shocker. So
Oro in Street Fighter V was also really weird.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
and then you get everybody hated him, but I love him.
Now I'm blanking. Has Sean showed up in anything?
No, Sean hasn't.
Yeah, so he's still one of the. Yeah, he's
Sean. Sean, and I thought Sean was a shoo-in for Street Fighter VI because I thought he just fits the vibe of Street Fighter VI so well,
especially like the open world.
Yeah.
You could go explore. I'll tell you what, I had way more fun with Street Fighter VI, the open world, than I thought I would.
I actually didn't do a lot of that. I just jumped right into what I liked was the open hub.
Right. The open hub
was a lot, because me and my friends, we would all like, all right, we're all going to Hub 44. It's like, all right, Hub 44, Hub 44. We just hang out in Hub 44.
Did you? Okay. So, all right. So who's your go to character?
Man, I like Ryu. Ryu is really cool these days. Yeah. I typically I like weird little guys though. Also, usually in Street Fighter VI, I play a lot of Ryu, due to mostly the lack of weird little guys. In Third Strike, my main right now is Oro, because I like to do unblockable loops. The only thing I can do. I'm not very good at the game, but like I can get an unblockable loop on him with him. He does this thing where he like shoots him up, jumps on them twice, then throws out his little booger ball, and then you can like do an ambiguous cross up where it's technically blockable, but like you have to do like a frame perfect shift of your direction of your stick to in order to actually block it. So they call it an unblockable. In Super Turbo, I like DJ. DJ's pretty cool because I like charge characters a lot. That's partially why.
Yeah.
But DJ is like a pretty unique fireball-ish character.
So for the longest time, I had, and I mean like years, I had no idea how to pull off a sonic boom. Remember, I was a kid, right? You have to go back. Yeah. I was like, because I was like, what do they mean? I was like, sonic boom, back forward thing. And I'm used to just using Ryu and Ken, where I'm just throwing fireballs left and right. And I'm like, you know, because that's not, this is like the 90s.
It's not intuitive. I remember having that same problem. Me and my friends, I forgot about this. We bought Street Fighter 4. Like Street Fighter 4 came out. And me and my friend got off of work one day. I was like, we're buying Street Fighter 4. We're going to play it. And I'm like, okay. And we're looking at the command list. I'm like, Chun-Li, you got to play Chun-Li. Chun-Li's tight.
Right.
And I'm looking at our command list for her Koken. And I'm like, why is this not working?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why is this not working?
Yeah. Oh, it did. I was like, what do they mean charge? Because really, it's like, it almost makes more sense that it, like with Guile, I finally, it was like, oh, it's actually more kind of like crouch back, like forward. Yeah. And then it worked. Because Guile was the only character I wanted to play as a kid.
Uh-huh.
because I was like, he's cool, he's from USA, he has the Sonic Boom. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. Then that cartoon like totally influenced me. And then you know, then later I was like, well, I played Ryu exclusively because he was like, well, he's the main character. And then I was like, no, I like Ken. And then I've been a Ken main pretty much.
He's ever. Also American, so there you go.
That helps too. With the exception of Street Fighter 4 is the only time I play Cammy as well. Mm-hmm. But the Street Fighter 4 is the one exception where I pretty exclusively played Akuma. Start to finish. Mainly because I don't know. I liked how he was like extremely offensive.
He was really good in that game too.
Oh yeah, he's absurd. Yeah. So I like highly offensive characters, and I actually play like a defensive style with them, which is kind of weird. It's basically because when I go into matches, it's like, all right, I know that like I can always come back if I have to, and I'm really actually more interested, like that's why Ken in 5 for me was so like such a breath of fresh air, because in 4 he's actually a little bit slower, and 4 just in general also it's like a more stiff kind of fighting game, whereas Ken was way faster in 5, and so I was like, okay, now I'm back on this train. And it was, even though, you know, damage, you can take a little more damage and stuff like that, especially Akuma takes way more damage. But that was just something that really intrigued me. And then in 6, I mostly play Ken just because I don't know, it's just Ken and I like him. And that's
Ken is
like,
really good in that game.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter to me whether he's at the top of the meta or the bottom of the meta. Like I'm pretty much playing him regardless.
Ken's a cool guy. I like the way he did with the lore for that story too, where he's running away from the law.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you seen any of the animes or movies or anything?
So I watched the first Alpha movie and the animated Street Fighter movie from back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Where it's like Ken is like looking for Ryu, and Ryu is just wandering around fighting Bryan Cranston.
So the animated movie is good.
I think that movie's amazing. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good. I will also recommend Street Fighter 2 V, the anime. Street Fighter 2 V. And what's funny is that it almost finishes the exact same way, but I can't remember. They're like flipped. It's like, because at the end, I think it's Ryu that's evil, and Ken has to save him. And I think it's the other way around in the...
Maybe I watched... Oh, is he like struggling with like?
Yeah, like Well, in Street Fighter 2 V, essentially, like Bison is kidnapping people and he's turning. So it's not like he's not struggling with Otto.
I'm getting that mixed up with the Alpha movie. I saw that.
Yeah. The Alpha movie does that. Then there's the live action movies, which I've never seen because they are just awful. Like there's the first one, is what's his name, Ruel Julia's last movie ever. The Addams Family, and then
I watched that as a kid, and I haven't watched it since.
Yeah,
and I kind of want to watch it because I feel like I will like it a lot.
It's got
because I've been watching a lot of these '90s movies that are like that I was told were bad, but I'm rewatching them.
What are you watching?
I watched the '90s Mario Brothers movie.
I was like, this is
amazing. it's really horny for some reason. It's really horny and out there and almost cyberpunk. It's wild.
It is crazy. Actually a little cyberpunk.
It's really weird, and I really liked it. And then The Phantom.
The 90s movie with for The Phantom. Alec
Baldwin? I forget who plays him, but I thought that movie, I don't think it was critically well received then at the time, but I think it would be pretty well received nowadays given the superhero.
Billy Zane. That's right.
Given the superhero moment we're in, I guess I could say, I feel like that movie would be pretty well received right now, because back then I think it was criticized because the costume looked weird. It's just a purple jumpsuit,
right? We
know superheroes now. The casual audience understands superheroes and understands you gotta wear a purple jumpsuit to indicate you're the Phantom. The movie was great. So if I could add Street Fighter to that list, I would probably be real into it.
Billy Zane, hold on, man. I gotta pull this up. So Billy Zane's career, right? So he's in movies like The Phantom, and then, man, he probably was thinking, oh man, my career is going down the drain, only to find out that like 2 years later he's in The Mummy, and it's like, you know, mega hit, you know. Well, he was in Titanic too.
But
in between that, what was, oh, he he was in Tombstone, which is great. And then he was in things called The Silence of the Hams, Reflection on a Crime, all these like 4.4. And then, man, he lucked out. He lucked out big time with Titanic. That like saved his career. I think, yeah. Wild. Yeah.
Anyway, that's a tangent, but yeah.
That's okay. But yeah, I recommend the Street Fighter 2 V if you can find it.
I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's really good. I think it's like your classic 26.
I was also reading, anime. I was also getting I think it was the Street Fighter 5 comics as from my library, because I was like, I like, again, reading the comics. I think they're also pretty good too.
Yeah, I have. That's the only thing I've never gone into is the Udon comics.
Have you looked into the 90s comics?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. There was like a 5-issue run. I think it was 5-issue run in the 90s where, and it was canceled by Capcom because Capcom was like, we hate this. Okay. What you're doing with the characters, everything you're doing with it is
Malibu.
Awful. And they're right. It was awful. It was a complete betrayal of all the characters, but crazy stuff happens in it. It's like,
yeah,
like
Street Fighter, Ken, Malibu comics. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Ken gets like scalped in the second issue. Like he's okay. Like jumped by like M. Bison, and then he's like fighting Vega, and he's fighting a whole bunch of guys. Like he's fighting all of M. Bison's like entourage, and then he's fighting them all in an alley, and then he gets to Sagat, and Sagat just scalps him and sends it to Ryu.
Oh my god. It's, yeah, like, I'm reading this right now. This from? Is
like
this,
why
is
are
wild.
You doing this?
It was all like, over the place.
It was crazy, and I was like, this is insane. And then it was canceled, and I was like, okay, that was probably for the best.
Yeah, I could see that.
But it's,
yeah,
like
that's one
those
of the
90s
will...
things like street like I guess you could call it camp. There's a lot of things in like 90s media where they're just going all out on something in the wrong direction every time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's fascinating to me.
Well, there's you're right, there's a lot of things like that, like Star Wars, Shadow of the Empire. Huge. I mean, they like,
yeah,
you know, they went hardcore with that, like game, TV, games, comics, freaking toys, everything. Power Stone, actually. Power Stone had an anime. They went hardcore into it. The song is super catchy. It's really good. Like,
I might have to check that out.
Yeah,
it sounds great.
Yeah, the anime itself is just like okay. It's kind of got like Pokemon vibes, just like animation style and stuff, and like tone. But yeah, Capcom. That is one of the things I love about Capcom is they're willing to like go all in on something. I mean, that's how we got like 12 terrible Resident Evil movies, right?
Yeah.
they keep trying to make Resident Evil work in film, and it does not for some reason.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk controllers. What do you, because I am what would you recommend somebody? Should somebody go arcade stick? Should you go leverless? Should you just start with a game pad? Should you go to like a fight pad? Or what do you like?
I think a game pad is perfectly serviceable. I think a game pad might even be better for a lot of games, but I like the aesthetic and the feel of an arcade stick, so I play on arcade stick.
Okay.
I like churning butter, you know, with the sticks. I have this. I actually found this. It's an old Street Fighter 4 stick that I got on like Facebook Marketplace for like $70. And I've been playing on this basically. I haven't had to replace any of the buttons at all for a long time. Before I was playing on this, I made a custom controller. I actually like did the woodwork with my dad. Let me see if I can find the shell.
Oh yeah.
Here it is. So this was actually like a wooden box. This is a giant Hulk and monster.
Oh, that is sweet.
You might have to hold it up. If you really want to go into it, and if you're like a weirdo like me and you like being hands-on with stuff, like building your own fight stick is probably the most affordable option, and it's pretty fun and pretty easy. Especially if you like are decently okay with woodworking or have a box that you're able to just drill holes in, I think building a fight stick and wiring your own buttons, you can just buy the buttons and get a wiring harness, and super easy.
Yeah.
Super, super easy. That's what I like to do. But that's because I'm like a tinkerer.
Yeah.
Right. Hey. I like to touch stuff.
Yeah. So I, for me and Street Fighter, this is like, this is the six is the first time I felt like I'm like, I feel like I am held back. It was the first time I felt held back by my controller, right? Because now with like EX combos and things, I'd be like, oh man, I just, I feel like I'm not able to like get those like R, you know, like what have press like Y and R and like shift fast enough. And so I was like, it was the first time I was like, all right. And so I didn't want to go full leverless because I was like, I think that's too hard. So I actually found on Amazon, because they're still selling it, and maybe this should have been a eye opener to me, is I remember I almost bought this controller, which is a Mad Catz Fight Pad. Oh, it's my camera's right here.
Oh yeah, I have something similar to that.
Yeah, there's a couple of variants of it, but it was for Street Fighter V, and the D-pad on it sucks. Otherwise, I do really like now I get it, because I always thought like game pads are dumb. I was like, I don't get the, I feel like I like having it. It's more beneficial to have a trigger than like a third button like that.
Yeah.
No, totally.
Then you figured out the grip, right? Where you hold it like that. Yeah. I used to have a game pad basically exactly like that, only it didn't have a stick.
Yeah.
And it still holds up. It has, it's really, is
this here? But now what I use this for is N64. Emulation,
yeah,
because it's the and because it has the stick,
yeah, too. The six buttons right there, yeah,
it's perfect for N64 emulation, because I mean, I do actually have like a Retro Fighters N64 like modern thing, but I think I like this more, and it's a PS4 controller, so it just plug and play,
yeah, much easier to work with, yeah. I like stuff like that as well, so like it's really what you're. You kind of have to ask yourself what you're willing to do and what you want. I think other than the only thing I would suggest is something with a good D-pad and something with buttons for triggers instead of analog.
Yeah.
Other than that, so, I'd say whatever you want.
Okay. Well, we can shift gears a little bit too, because I definitely want to get some Smash questions in, now that I know that you're a hardcore Smash guy. So I mean, are you your GameCube controller on Smash
though? Yes, absolutely.
100%. Yeah.
100%.
So okay, well let's dive into that series a little bit. So what are you, start in N64 or
no? I started with Melee. Learned the Wave Melee. Dash when I was a kid, and then I didn't play for a long time, and then Evo 2013 happened basically.
Okay.
Which is where there was the big charity tournament. That was Evo basically hosted it, had a charity run where you donated to your favorite game. And they basically got Melee on the main stage doing that by raising a bunch of money for charity. And that caused a huge boom in the Melee scene. Everybody was doing tournaments and stuff like that. That's when I got back into it. And I basically played and went to tournaments ever since. I did a little bit of Project M too, which was like a mod for Brawl that happened at the time that was getting big. But I eventually kind of left that, mostly because it was getting updated a lot. And I was like, man, I don't want to deal with patches. That's a big reason why I still play retro games, is like, I don't want to deal with patches. I don't want to learn a thing and then find out it's irrelevant like 6 months later. So I came back to Melee, and I stuck with Melee for basically the entire time.
Okay. So I bet you played Brawl and Smash Wii U.
I played them, you know. Yeah. I didn't compete in any of them, right?
Right.
There's something real magical about Melee and its freedom of movement that it gives you. I'm not going to say any of the others are bad games. I actually really like Brawl.
I do too. But Brawl to me only has one issue, and it's tripping. It's literally the only thing that holds that game back.
Competitive standard for Brawl though, there's a little code you can run on an SD card, you plug it in and it turns it off.
Oh really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can just turn that off. Like literally, apparently it's two lines of code.
Oh well, okay.
Then they're just like, you can just turn this off. Like, okay.
Yeah, because Brawl for me, because I've played since the N64. Actually, the N64 one is still my favorite, even though it's...
I love watching combo contests for that.
It's quite archaic, but man, I love how stiff it is. I don't know, it just has such a different feel to it, like timing. Because I play Falcon in the original, and Falcon's timing for the punch, his Falcon punch, works. It just works so much better with, like, you can literally land, like you can be charging it up and land like and be able to just level people like at the exact right time, whereas in Melee going forward, they changed it. Because in the original, yeah, they made it a lot
slower in future iterations versus in 64, it's an actual combo tool.
Yeah, and it's also the way he does it. He actually, in 64, he kind of like winds it up, almost like Donkey Kong in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas then they changed it to where he like reaches back and the timing and everything totally changed. Then I switched to Link, and Link's who I play a lot of different people, but Link is who I'm always like, that's who I want to go check out first.
Yeah.
But yeah, oh man, I loved Super Smash Brothers Brawl. I mean, that was like the game that was like, oh man, I think the Wii is like pretty awesome. You know,
Brawl was a lot of fun. I was one of those kids checking the Sakurai updates every day.
Yeah,
because they had this whole system where they'd like release a screenshot, release like something else. I forget how they did it, but they had like a thing that they released every day of the week, where you could like check out on the website, and you'd be like, oh. And I was checking every day for stuff, for updates for that game when that came out. I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, Subspace Emissary was like amazing, and like, you know, it wasn't something that everybody knew. You go back at the time, I mean, obviously you could go online, you could look into it and stuff like that, but it just online then still wasn't the same like it is today, where everything is force fed to you through whatever social media platform you decide to use. And whereas like back then, it was just like, oh man, it felt like it was like shadow dropped. So when like, I remember like we're all like hardcore gamers, and Brawl comes out and there's like Subspace Emissary, we're like, no, it's like a whole adventure mode. We're like, what? And like epic cutscenes, like this with ships co-op. Flying. Oh, it was insane.
So Subspace Emissary was great. And I don't know. They never did that again either.
No, they gave us that little adventure mode on Smash Ultimate. Where would you like to see it go next? Because I feel like now they need to like reboot, like not reboot the franchise, but it's like, I feel like we can't just go further with like, let's just add more and more character. I mean, it's not Mugen. Okay.
I think they should release a lagless version on the Switch 2 for Super Smash Bros. Melee for the Nintendo GameCube, released by HAL Laboratories in 2001.
just 4K. Just 4K. Just
release it again. Make sure it's 1.02 version, not the PAL version.
and just roll with it. They could go back to like that melee fast.
I'm not sure where Smash Ultimate can go from here. I mean, obviously I like Melee for its movement, so something that like grants you fluidity of movement really well. Like they teased it in Ultimate where they give you the directional air dodge, but it doesn't really give you a lot of freedom of movement like it does in Melee, because in Melee like you cancel the directional air dodge by hitting the ground, and that causes the slide, and that's your wave dash, and then you can use that to like move around the platforms in really clever and creative ways. And so I just want something like that. That's basically what I want. I want it to be faster and have more movement options. That's really all.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, what other fighting games are you into? Do you play?
I like Killer Instinct a lot. I like playing Killer Instinct as like something that like I don't play religiously. I just put my friends who are like into fighting games and onto something else. I'm like, hey, let's play Killer Instinct, because it's like the combo system's kind of simple. It's like a rock, paper, scissors thing, and you go on. I think that game is very well designed. And I think that game is pretty great. I also just like any weird fighting game I can get my hands on. I had my birthday party the other day, and I had Fighter's Destiny.
Oh yeah, man!
On the N64.
I love that game.
My friends in front of that, I was like, "You're playing this?" They're all like, "I can be a cow." I'm like, "You can be a cow."
Yeah. No. Fighter's Destiny. That was a game.
That game's real creative because of the point system that it has instead of its round system. Mm-hmm. You know.
In a way, it's not exactly the same, but it kind of, because of the point system, it kind of it makes you feel a little bit like Bushido Blade, you know, for PS1 is.
Yeah.
I mean, just in that game's like can be a one hit style
game. Yeah, the game was like, yeah, Fighter's Destiny was really is really interesting mechanically, and just it's a cool game. My friend was getting me into Virtua Fighter 5.
Okay. That's like going to be coming back.
Style of game, but like they released it on Steam, like, and for $20 rollback edition, you get this whole package on Steam. I'm like, this is cool, and it's just three buttons: punch, kick, and guard.
Yeah.
And it's really elegant and it feels real intuitive. I mean, I played Soul Calibur back in the day too. So it's like that, right? You have a couple buttons and you just kind of point your stick in a direction to test out what strings work and what strings don't. And it's really.
Oh God, now I just blanked on the game. I was gonna Bloody Roar. You ever played Bloody Roar?
I have played Bloody Roar. Yes. One of my buddies that I met on TikTok, Phil, of course. He loves Bloody Roar. It's like his favorite game. He turned me on to Bloody Roar, and we've played a few times. He helps run tournaments for it at Combo Breaker and stuff like that. He does commentary and stuff like that. Phil, of course, if you want to talk Bloody Roar, you got to talk to Phil.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, okay. I will look.
He's not doing a lot of
the name. The name anymore. Actually, the name sounds familiar. So maybe I've come.
He's not. He used to be a lot more active on TikTok, but I think his real life job.
Right.
Kind of.
Oh funny. Yeah.
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 He does a lot of he does editing for other content creators too, I think. So like he's a great guy.
Okay. Yeah. No, I would definitely look him up because I'm definitely always down to talk Bloody Roar. I'm guessing you're a Dragon Ball fan by your Discord handle there. So
I love Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. I love Akira Toriyama specifically. Like his art style is so iconic and so identifiable. And it's never quite been replicated, right? People can replicate it, but like nobody's ever like done it quite the same way that he does it.
Oh, it's the best.
I grew up playing more Dragon Quest than I did Dragon Ball, actually.
Oh, okay.
I was a huge Dragon Quest nerd. All my friends were playing Final Fantasy. I always be like, yeah, but have you heard of Dragon Quest? This is back in the early 2000s
when it was still Dragon Warrior. Yeah, yeah.
Right. I was turning out my PlayStation 1 Dragon Warrior 7 disc, and I'm like, have you played this game? It's 100 hours.
Yeah.
You do nothing for the first 3 hours of the game. It's brilliant.
So I'm actually right now I'm playing because I bought it like a couple years ago on Switch. I bought Dragon Quest Builders 2. And you know, it's one of those games I played for like 5 minutes and then set it down. But Switch 2 right now, a lot of Switch 1 games like that are all uncapped frame rates. Now we're all at 60. And so I'm right now I'm actually got this like this huge pile of games right here.
I hear Dragon Quest Builders is real interesting. I haven't played it, but I hear it does a really interesting thing where it's the sequel to Dragon Quest 1 if the hero fails.
I haven't played Dragon Quest 1, but the story right away is immediately like, oh, this other guy you're dealing with is like the destroyer of worlds and he's like your friend, and it's like really, it's really weird. But a lot of Switch 1 games right now, any of that thing that's uncapped runs at 60 FPS on Switch 2. And so I've been doing a bunch of testing and stuff, and that's one of those games, and I'm like, well, dude, this is way better now. Like it's like huge. Sometimes 30, sometimes some games are fine at 30, but man, 30 to 60, it's huge difference.
I was talking to a buddy about this. Like this, one of the best things about the Switch 2 is it increases the value of your Switch 1.
It does. Yeah, it's like it's great.
Pokemon, like, oh my God.
It's not even the same
for
game.
Pokemon, and the updated improvement for that is crazy.
No, it's insane. Like, it's
and I was like a Scarlet and Violet defender. Like I had a ton of fun playing Scarlet and Violet at launch.
Oh man, I was an attacker. I was like, man, this is bad.
Because I just like, I mean, I thought the game was fun. I thought it looked ugly, but I was like, I'm having a lot of fun playing this game.
There's a lot of mechanics, and I like, because right now that's another game I'm kind of replaying now that they have the update, and it feels like a completely different game. Yeah. So much so that I'm like, I have Violet, and I'm like, I think I need to go buy Scarlet because I want to replay it now that it's so much better. And I just made a longer YouTube video about it. And I was like, I mean, everything is better because there was a lot of really cool mechanics and just a lot of cool gameplay concepts that I thought in the game. Like I love, it's like tiny little stuff. I love when you catch Pokemon and it gives you like a book, like on a library shelf, like stuff like that. It's small little things that are just so cool that they tried to do in this game. It's a very ambitious game. And, you know, it also comes down to Game Freak. Maybe there's not as good as Monolith Soft. Not many people are, right? To be fair. I mean, but
Game Freak is real interesting because they're like a small studio and they want to be a small studio.
Yeah. And they're a second party developer. They make mostly Pokemon, and then every once in a while they'll make some game. Whatever that new game is, they have
on Xbox, right?
Yeah, and everyone's like freaking out. It's like they've always been a second party developer.
Have you played any other non-Game Freak games?
Any other
non-Pokemon Game Freak games? Sorry, my bad.
I'd have to look up what they are, but
might I turn you on to Drill Dozer for the Game Boy Advance?
Oh, I played Drill Dozer. Yeah.
There you go. So long as people know about Drill Dozer, that's important to me.
Oh yeah, man. I played Drill Dozer. I love the Game Boy Advance. Yeah. It's cool. Okay. As we're coming up on an hour here, I did this about how I cap the episodes. Where can people find you on the internet, man?
I'm mostly on TikTok. I have like every social media, but the one I post mostly on is TikTok. Like I have a Twitter, I have a Twitch. I don't stream a lot because of life stuff. I'm posting a little bit more on Instagram now, but it's Stray House Pet basically everywhere. I'm basically, my content plans are basically just talking about my arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
for the foreseeable future and anything I find interesting about video games in general.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, hey man, this is a ton of fun. I would definitely have to hit you up again. And
it
sounds like, I think we have a lot of similar minds. And we could do an entire episode on Dragon Quest and obscure Game Boy Advance.
You play
games.
Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah. I'm down.
We can do that too. I'm totally down. Just play a game.
Yeah. This was fantastic. So awesome. All right. Well, yeah, everybody who's listening, yeah, definitely go check him out on TikTok. You should post on YouTube as well. I mean, that's if you're making TikTok content, you got to post those YouTube shorts as well.
I have posted on YouTube shorts. You know, you're right. I do have a YouTube shorts and I posted some stuff on it. I haven't kept up with that though.
Yeah.
I'm bad. I'm bad at managing my content.
It's another monetization avenue, you know.
Yeah, it really is. I'll probably DM you for advice on that.
Okay. Can do. So awesome. All right, guys. Well, hey, you can always find me anywhere on the internet as @SuperGainsBros. If you like this episode, be sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave us a review on iTunes. That is huge for the podcast. So as always, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.